today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that as it began to dawn very early in the morning, we find two women coming to the sepulchre. As the Sabbath was coming to an end, and it was the first day of the week, these two women, they got up very early in the morning to go to the sepulchre. The Sabbath began at sunset and ended the next day at sunset. The day before was called the day of preparation. On this day, they usually prepared for the Sabbath day. And these people then, these two women, they must have agreed with each other to get up early and to go and visit the sepulchre. They had seen how that Christ had been crucified, how that he had died, and how that he had been buried in the sepulchre, and how that Joseph likewise had rolled a stone before the door of the sepulchre and had sealed it. And these women, they had ministered unto the Lord Jesus Christ even before he had been crucified. They ministered unto his necessities. And now we find that they likewise spent some of their money to buy spices and ointments and to come to the sepulchre to anoint him. It was customary for these Eastern people to anoint kings and rulers and those that were in authority when they died at their funeral. Now, they had no opportunity to do this when Christ was buried, but they agreed to come and do it the first day of the week. These women then arose very early. They had much over for the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved him very much. They then were going along the road, walking together. Matthew recounts that there were but two. Luke says that there were three, and some other women probably with them. And now these women then, they put us to shame in many ways. These women, they got up very early in the morning. They had so much over for the Lord Jesus Christ that they had likewise spent of their substance for him. How many of us get up early in the morning? How many of us set a little time aside in the morning to pray, to read the Word of God, to seek his face, to begin the day with him? I brought this subject so many times to you, my hearers, and I'm just wondering whether it ever took effect upon any of yous. This is a very good custom. Many, they lay to the last minute. The alarm goes off and up they jump and off they go to work, and they buy something to eat even at their work or on their way to work. They don't have any time in the morning to get up, to pray, to seek God. If they're going on a journey, if they're going on a vacation, oh, they have a lot of time to get everything ready. Then they're up bright and early. They got to do this and they got to do that. But to seek the Lord, to seek to be saved, to seek Jesus, how few have any time for this. Do not these women put us to shame in this respect? Now, my hearers, I hope that if you never have done this, that you may begin to do it tomorrow morning. It's a very good custom to begin the day with God. You never know what God might do while you are seeking his face. He teaches us to seek his face. And if we seek him early, we shall find him. Now, these women, they're coming along the road in this respect to the grave. It mentions Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. This other Mary was the mother of James. She was a sister to Mary, the mother of Christ. They're coming to the grave. And as they're coming along, they're talking with each other. They're thinking, there's a stone in the front of the door of that sepulchre. How are we going to get that stone out of the way? How could weak women roll a big stone away from the door? But you would think that they would immediately turn around and go back. What's the sense of going any further? That early in the morning, there ain't going to be anybody by that sepulchre that's going to help us to roll that stone away. But no, they continue on. They had then an obstacle in the way already before they got to the sepulchre. And now these women, you may be sure that they were in a state of mourning. They had lost him whom all their hopes and all their expectations had been centered in. They had been with him when he was alive. They had mingled with him. They had seen many of his miracles. They had also been given communion and fellowship with him. They had such faith to believe that he was the Messiah and that he was the Christ. But when he was crucified, when he died, when they buried him, all their hopes, all their expectations were gone. And they had no more hope that he would ever stand up again and be alive again. And still, to pay their last respects, they went to the sepulchre to perform this wonder and give a token of their love and affection to Jesus. Now, these women are a type of the Church of Christ throughout all ages. And when a person is born again and he receives a new life, then they have likewise much fellowship with the Lord. Though they do not know that it's Jesus, still they find so much life in prayer, so much life under the means of grace, and they find so much joy in coming up to the house of God and listening to his word. They find that they love to be alone. They love to pray, they love to read his word, and it's all life to them. But there comes a time when the Lord withdraws himself, and all these lively feelings that they have experienced under the means of grace, under prayer, go away. And they begin to doubt and begin to fear that it was not God's work, that of him whom they thought had begun this work was gone. They then come into a sad and a mournful state. When they have no more faith in exercise, when they have no prayer that's lively anymore, or when they begin to doubt and to fear that they've mistaken themselves, that they've deceived themselves, and all their hopes and all their expectations are gone. A sad state, my hearers. You ever been there? These women then, they were in a state of mourning. Have you ever lost somebody that was near and dear and precious unto you? Some member of your family, your husband, your wife maybe? They died and you were in a state of grief and sorrow. Meet the people when they're that way. You can't talk to them. They're overwhelmed with it. If it remained that way, I think they would be brought to the grave very quickly. But fortunately, it does not remain that way. These women were in that state. They had lost their best beloved. And you may be sure that they were weeping and mourning as they were coming to the sepulchre. And now they began to think about this stone. And my hearers, this stone was an obstacle to these women. So it is with the people of God. They meet with many obstacles on the way to meet Jesus. Oh, what an obstacle is sin, is the guilt of sin. How it burdens a person down, and how he fears that his sins will never be forgiven. They're too many, they're too great. And they continually keep coming up, and they continually overpower the poor soul, and it sinks the soul down in despondency and in despair sometimes, and it fears that there's no forgiveness for such a creature like he or she finds herself to be. Oh, it's such an obstacle in the way to Jesus. But then we find that unbelief comes up, and unbelief is so strong and so powerful that it begins to voice itself in the soul and say, you think you're going to be saved? You think that Jesus would accept a creature like you? And the soul begins to despond and it begins to despair of this obstacle it cannot overcome. These women, they knew that this obstacle was in the way, and they knew that they couldn't roll that stone away. So a soul is taught that it can't overcome sin, it can't overcome unbelief, and it can't overcome all those things that come up in it. It needs something to happen to it, or otherwise it's going to sink away in unbelief and die and be lost. These women then, they came to the sepulcher, and lo, God was before them. So he is with every one of his dear children. These obstacles, the Lord, he overcomes them. And now, when they came to the sepulcher, the Lord was before them. There was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled away the stone from the door of the sepulcher, and he sat upon it, and his raiment was white as snow, and his countenance was like lightning, and for fear of him the keepers did quake and shake and became as dead men. We have then here the Almighty God being moved at the resurrection of his dear son. He caused an earthquake to come. Earthquakes we read of in Scripture. We read of one at the time of Elijah, he was on the mountain, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. We read in the time of Uzziah, there was an earthquake. Earthquakes have been in this world ever since it's been created. And earthquakes are awful things, because there's such a tremendous loss of life, and there's such a devastation of property when something like this takes place. Now, there seems to have been two earthquakes at the time of Christ's death and resurrection. The first one happened when he gave up the ghost. Then we read there was an earthquake, and the veil of the temple rent from the top to the bottom. And we read likewise that many of the graves were opened. But they did not come out of the graves until Christ was risen from the dead, if you will take particular notice when you read that. So it was the second earthquake, this earthquake, that brought these people that were dead out of the graves, and they appeared unto many in the holy city. Earthquakes, they usually run in belts. There's two belts in which earthquakes commonly take place. The one belt runs from the country of Chile in South America on the western coast of the Pacific Ocean. It runs up the coast through the United States unto Alaska. From Alaska, it cuts across west to the Aleutian Islands. From there, it enters into Japan, and it goes down through Japan into the Philippine Islands and likewise into the East Indies. The other belt in which they commonly come begins in Spain. From Spain, it cuts across through the Mediterranean basin and enters into Turkey. From Turkey, it goes into the Himalayan mountains, and from the Himalayan mountains, it comes over into Magdala, and from there, it meets this other belt in the East Indies. In these two belts, commonly, earthquakes take place. Earthquakes have taken place throughout the centuries that this world has been. The records of earthquakes before the 18th century are unreliable. Since the 18th century, they have been putting them down and taking records of them according to the number of the loss of life and the devastation of property. And now we have then an earthquake taking place when the Lord Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave. This angel descended. He rolled a stone away from the door of the grave. And immediately when the stone was rolled away, then Jesus arose of his own power. And he came forth out of this sepulcher. The angel sitting on the stone must have seen him come out of the grave. In all probability, the soldiers that stood there as dead men likewise seen him come forth. Oh, what a wonderful sight this must have been, my hearers, for the angel, and likewise for these men that were there. He laid aside all signs of mortality. He arose to die no more. Behold, I live, and I live forevermore. He came forth as a glorious victor, a triumphing over death, over the grave, over sin, over Satan, and over hell. He arose and came forth out of the grave. Oh, what a blessing it is, my hearers, for had he not risen, there would be no salvation for any human being in this world. For the apostle states that if Christ had not risen, we would still be in our sins. This glorious resurrection means so much to the Christian church. For if this had not taken place, there would be no Savior, no righteousness, no intercessor at the right hand of God. It would be a lost matter for every individual of Adam. And now he came forth then and arose according to the scriptures the third day. He arose by his own power. He arose because his Father awaked him. The three persons in the Trinity were occupied in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was then an earthquake, and an angel of God came down. Angels are glorious messengers sent by God to perform his works here below, and likewise to reveal his purposes and his will. Many times God has sent angels here below. Sometimes they have destroyed whole cities, overturned them. Other times they have destroyed great armies. If you think of the 185,000 Assyrians, an angel of God came down and destroyed every one of them. There was angels when the Lord Jesus was born. They sang and they spake unto the shepherds, fear not, for we make known unto thee glad tidings this day. And we find that an angel came when Christ was being tempted by Satan 40 days. After he had been tempted, angels came and ministered unto him. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in that great agony of soul, we find that an angel came and strengthened him. And now the Almighty God sent an angel down, and he came, such a glorious inhabitant from glory above, clothed with such wonderful raiment that it glistened as snow, and it was sure to make these men afraid. We who dwell in the flesh, we cannot behold something like this. We sure would be afraid ourselves, and we would tremble and quake. And this is what happened to these keepers that were standing by the grave, watching so that he would not be stolen. They became so affrighted, and they trembled and shook, and they became as dead men, it says. These angels then are glorious beings. They're messengers of God, sent many times to perform his will and to make known what he is going to do in the future. And now this angel, he likewise spake unto the women. We find these women coming to the grave, and as they came to the grave, they saw this glorious being, an angel. And you may be sure that they were filled with fear too. Oh, who was this? What was this? What had taken place here? Who was this wonderful personage standing there? And this angel, he spake unto them, and he said unto them, fear not, he says, for he says, I know that ye seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord laid. Wonderful words, my hearers, spoken unto these women that came to the grave, speaking unto them and saying, fear not. All you know, angels are messengers of God. And many times God has likewise used his ministers, who are called angels, who are flaming fire, used by him for the comfort of his dear people. This angel then spake, fear not, just like the angel spake when Christ was born to the shepherds, "Fear not, for I publish unto you glad tidings." Oh, what wonderful glad tidings had this angel to proclaim to these women. Now they came seeking a dead Jesus. They came to anoint his body. They came to pay their mournful respects. And when they came, they found it altogether different. And they found a stone rolled away from the door, and they found an angel speaking unto them and saying unto them, "Fear not." Oh, you may be sure that they were trembling. They were full of fear. Have you ever been full of fear, my hearers? Have you ever trembled? Has God ever revealed something of himself unto you and something of yourself that you began to tremble, that you began to fear, that you began to think everything is lost with me? I'm a sinner, and how am I ever going to appear before God? And has God ever used his precious word in this respect? Sometimes by the mouth of the ministry, it has come to you, "Fear not." And what did he say to the women? He said, "I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified." You see, my hearers, it was known in heaven that these women were lovers of Jesus, that they came seeking Jesus, that they came to pay their last respects concerning his dead body. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, that it's known in heaven. Every soul that's seeking Jesus is known in glory above. Can it be said of you and of me, "I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified"? Whom are ye seeking, my hearers? What does your presence under the truth, under the proclaiming of the gospel mean? Have you come up this afternoon seeking Jesus? Have you come up with a prayer in your heart saying, "Oh Lord Jesus, do appear unto me. Oh, do come to my soul. Do speak to me. Thou knowest who I am. I'm a poor sinner. I need thee, Lord. I feel lost without thee. Oh, won't you come to help me and to deliver me from my sins?" Are there any such souls amongst my hearers exercise in this way? Are you seeking Jesus? Do you need Jesus? Oh, what a mercy. Can you lay your heart bare before the Almighty God and say, "Lord, you know that I'm seeking you. You know that I can't do without you. You know that I need you. You know that I feel lost if you don't save me"? Can you say that before God honestly, sincerely? But then it's known in heaven. You may be sure. It's known who they are that are seeking Jesus. And now these women, they were comforted by the angel, for he spake unto them and said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And the angel reminded them of what Jesus had said when he was alive. He had spoken to his disciples that he would suffer many things in and through the rulers and the elders of the people, and that they would take him, and that he would be killed, and that he would again rise the third day. But the disciples, they had not paid any particular attention to what Jesus said. And the others, the Pharisees, the rulers, they had paid attention. Therefore, they had to watch at the grave. They believed what he said more than what the disciples did. And now the angel reminds the women that he had said this, that he would rise again. And they were told to come and take a look, have an ocular demonstration. Come and see that he is not here, he is risen, to prove to them that it was true. "I am an angel. You needn't fear me. Come, look into this grave and see if he's laying there or not." And then they were told that they should go to the disciples and tell the disciples what they had seen, and that they likewise would see him in Galilee. Lo, I have told you, the angel says. Oh, this angel, he was a wonderful messenger for these two women. All these women, they looked into the grave, and they surely saw for their own belief that Jesus was not there. And then when they were told to go to the disciples, we read, and they left the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Or you may be sure they were filled with joy. Or to think that he whom they came to see, who they thought was dead, he was alive again. He was not in the sepulcher anymore. They had seen it with their own eyes. And this angel had said that they should run quickly and tell his disciples, and you shall see him in Galilee. Lo, I have told you. All this, my hearers, happens in the life of God's dear children. And just as it went with these women, they were mournful and sorrowful women. They came seeking a dead Jesus, and lo and behold, there this angel began to proclaim to them that he was risen, and that he was not dead, and that they should go and tell the disciples, and they surely would see him themselves. My hearers, have you ever come up under the gospel in a mournful and in a sad and in a desolate state for your soul? No hope, no expectation. Everything seemed to be gone. And no exercises of faith, no love, no affection going out to the Lord. And you came into the house of God, and suddenly the minister, he became like an angel unto you. He began to speak, and the words was brought home to your soul. And you heard him probably saying, and may the words that the angel said be blessed to your soul. Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. Oh, when this is brought home, my hearers, to the hearts of those that are sad and desolate, oh, how encouraging. Oh, how it revives a person to be given to believe that it's known in heaven that you're seeking Jesus. Although you feel so sad and so lonesome and so desolate, it's known in heaven that you're that way. And you come to the house of God, and you hear the wonderful gospel proclaimed, and it not only reaches your ear, but it reaches your heart, and you are so encouraged to believe. Oh, you are so lifted up out of that pit in which you were in. All unbelief is gone, all doubts have dwindled away, and oh, you're filled with joy and happiness. That is the way these women were. They were filled with fear and with great joy. They left the sepulcher. Have you ever left the house of God in that way? Oh, the fear of God, such awe, such reverence for his divine and glorious majesty, and a promise sealed home to your heart, in all probabilities that you surely would find him, him whom you were seeking, him whom you thought you never would find. Oh, when you went and measured your state and condition, oh, you were so gone, so mixed up, and you had so much unbelief, and you were so troubled that you thought there's no use anymore. And suddenly it's revived. Suddenly you are quickened. Suddenly you are filled with joy. It's so wonderful in the hearts of God's people. Sometimes in 1 minute there's such a change. Have you ever experienced it? 1 minute you're so sad and you're so downcast, and the next minute when the speaker is used by God, why, you're lifted up. You're given to believe. There's such a change in you. You are filled with joy. So these women, there was no place anymore for doubts. There was no place for unbelief anymore. Oh, they were so strengthened by the words of the angel that they left hurrying to tell the disciples what they had seen and what they had heard. Have you ever had something Have you ever wanted to go and tell somebody what you had seen, what you had heard spiritually? Did you have somebody that you wanted to lean upon and confide into? These women knew that these disciples were sitting in a sad and in a desolate state. They were in a mournful state themselves. Their master was gone, their savior was gone, and there they were. They felt so lost, these poor disciples. And all they needed someone to come to them and tell them. And now these women, they were to be the messengers to run and tell these disciples of what they had seen and what they had heard and what had come to pass. And now as they're going, my hearers, we find that Jesus meets them. And he says unto them, all hail. Oh, what a wonderful meeting this must have been, my hearers. They had been told that they would meet him in Galilee. They did not know where he was, what road he was upon. They didn't run to find out where he was. They were running to obey the message, to go back to the disciples. And as they are on their way, Jesus appears unto them. And he speaks but two words. All hail. All my hearers. And you may be sure they knew him. They had been with him before he had died. They knew his features. They knew his voice. And when he appeared unto them, oh, this was their beloved. This was their friend. This was the one that they had come seeking, who they thought was dead. And here he was. He was alive before them. And he spake unto them and said, all hail. Just two words. And where did those words bring them, my hearers? Oh, they fell at his feet, it says, and they worshiped him. Oh, we don't need many words, my hearers, to bring us to the feet of Jesus, to bring us in a worshiping attitude. Oh, one word sometimes, it melts a person's heart down to the dust. And there we lay in wonder and in amazement at the feet of him. We cannot do anything else but worship him. Have you ever had a word spoken to you? Have you ever had something like this to bring you down to the feet of Christ and that he became the one altogether lovely unto you? Oh, he was everything for your immortal soul. Although you didn't possess him, although you couldn't claim him to be yours, oh, he was everything that you desired and everything that you wanted and everything that you needed. All these women, they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. Oh, what a sight this must have been for them. And now, my hearers, Jesus also spake unto them. And he said, fear not. Go, tell my brethren that they likewise shall see me and tell them to go into Galilee, for there they shall see me. And we find that these women, they ran away from the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the disciples. Oh, my hearers, what a sight they had of Christ. If any one of you ever get a sight of Christ, you'll want to tell somebody about it. Or you'll want to speak to somebody. You'll be like we read in Scripture, in new bottles of wine, filled with new wine, ready to burst. Why, you wouldn't be able to keep it in. You'd want to tell somebody. And who would you want to tell? None others but the friends of Jesus. None others but those that you know also would understand you. And these women, we find them hastening to the disciples. And when they arrived by the disciples, there they sat mourning and sad and cast down. And now these women, they were all life. They were all feeling. They were all filled with faith. Oh, they wanted to tell them what they had seen and what they had heard and who they had met on the way. And they began to tell these disciples. Oh, my hearers, did these disciples believe them? Did they also lighten up with joy? Did their faces become glad? Were they so excited too? No. They were telling them all these things. And it sounded to these disciples as if it was an idle tale. They didn't believe him. Oh, what an awful thing it is, my hearers. And it's so true. How often is not the preaching, the reading, to teaching, even in Bible class, as but an idle tale. Examine yourselves, my hearers. Has it ever been true to you? You know, when it's not true within, it's mostly just like an idle tale. How sad this must have been for these women. So full of life, so full of feeling, they wanted to tell these men, and these men, they sat there as if they didn't believe them. They couldn't believe them. Oh, this is so often the case, my hearers. Have you ever experienced it? Has God ever given you something, and you went to tell somebody, and that somebody that you were telling appeared to you as if they didn't believe you? It was just like an idle tale to them. They couldn't accept what you were speaking about. You know, my hearers, it's an awful thing for a minister. He's a messenger of God. He sometimes gets a message from God to bring to the people, and he proclaims that message, and he watches his hearers. And as he's watching them, it's just like if it's an idle tale to him that he's telling these people. That's the way they receive it. They don't believe it. It don't affect them, and it don't move them. And there they sit, just like these disciples. In another respect, sometimes, my hearers, and maybe I'll reach your case with this, it may be that you have experienced something. God has been good to you. He gave you a promise. He met you in the means of grace. And oh, you were so filled with joy and happiness that you had a smile of him again, a kiss of him, and you wanted to tell one of your best friends. And when you came to this friend to tell this friend, all the liveliness was gone. All the believing and the faith that you had when you received it was gone. And you yourself, as you were telling it to this person, you yourself found it to be but an idle tale. You didn't believe it anymore yourself. You didn't have any faith in exercise. You began to think, maybe I should have kept my mouth shut. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything about it, because it don't seem to be true to myself anymore. Oh, so many times it's like an idle tale. And so it was for these disciples. My hearers, this is another proof that you and I can't believe just when we want to. No matter if an angel of the Lord came and spake to us, and if God did not give us faith to receive the word, it would be still an idle tale to us. And now Peter, this man, he was with the disciples. He immediately rose up, and he ran to the sepulcher, Peter. And when he came to the sepulcher, he seen that the sepulcher was open, and he seen, as he looked in, that it was empty, and he seen the napkin laying there. But he did not see the angel. He did not see Jesus. But Peter had an ocular view and a proof that something had taken place when the sepulcher was wide open, as it was. This man, Peter, he was the person that had denied his Lord and Master three times. And all scripture says that these women were told by another evangelist to tell Peter. Oh, it was expressly stated by the Lord that they should tell this man, for his comfort and for his confirmation. But my hearers, Peter needed what these women had. They had a view of Christ, a manifestation of him to their own souls. And Peter needed the very same thing. And so likewise with all the disciples. Should they believe it, then Jesus must manifest himself. And so it is with us, my hearers. We may pray, we may cry to him, we may seek and desire to have him, but until he manifests himself, and nothing takes place within. So it was with the women. When they met him, then they fell at his feet and worshiped him. And may we all be given to meet this risen Savior May we know something of what it is to lay at his feet a most blessed place, and to worship and to adore him and him only. The Lord bless the message this afternoon to your immortal souls. Our time is gone.